Mountain State Baptist Church, Seeker Sunday School class. Brother R.C., would you pray for us, please? Thank you. Now, the handout in your bulletin is from left over from Chapter 3 because we haven't had time or space to hand them out since then. The plan today is to finish last week's lesson, and if you don't have that, raise your hand, and we've got some friendly ushers that's going to give you last week's lesson if you need it. Yes. Go ahead. Yes. Yes. Two or three weeks ago, we had a lesson about the number 6, and several wanted those, and they're out there on the table if you want the information about lesson number 6. Okay. Thank you, men. Now, we're in chapter 14, and we looked at the first 5 verses, and I hope what we learned was the 144,000 are singing a new song, and their new song is God really is great,
yeah,
and God really is good. I hope I got that down in my heart where I'll never forget it. Now we're on verse 6 and 7. Verses 6 through 12 is going to be 3 special angels. We'll be having a message here. 6 and 7 is the great news. Now, we call our gospel the good news, and I don't know why we call it the good news. It was great news to me when they brought it to me. As cold water to a thirsty soul, was I glad to get it. And that's the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, what these angels got here, they got the everlasting gospel. Let's look at it starting in verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. Now, up till now, man's been in charge of the gospel. The angels haven't been allowed to. But as soon as they get a chance and it's given to them, what they do is fly to the charge. That's because it seems though we've dropped the ball a lot of times, but they're excited about it. This is great news. It's eternal in its significance, and it's universal in its scope. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. And our gospel is everlasting too, but this is a little different for the kingdom age here, the everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Looks to me like it's still whosoever will. Whosoever will. And verse 7, saying in a loud voice, fear God. Any questions on the everlasting gospel? The everlasting gospel is fear God. It's pretty easy, isn't it? Not even 3. It does go on and says, and give glory to God, glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth, the sea, and the fountains of the waters. That's the one that Brother Greg told us about.
Yeah.
It's that same God that he told us about. There's only one God. And the everlasting God, gospel is fear God, give glory to God, and worship God. It's a pretty good deal we got in on. Pretty good deal they're getting in on. It's intense now. And the angels, they get to preach the gospel. The everlasting gospel. It's the angel commission. And it's fear God, give glory to God, worship God. Verse 8, you got the second angel. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now the Word of God is so true, so trustworthy, you can trust your Bible, you can depend on your Bible. It says is right here, like it already happened. And this is a prophecy book, and it says it is fallen. And you can count on it when God says it's going to happen. Let's look at why in Jeremiah 51:7. Here's why it's going to fall. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. Isaiah 13:19. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. He said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Now when we get to Revelation 17, religious Babylon will be destroyed. When we get to chapter 19, commercial Babylon will be destroyed. Now back to Revelation 14:9. Here's the third angel, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. We're talking about undiluted torment. It's not like where I mix my antifreeze, 50% water, 50% antifreeze. No, this is straight torture, straight wrath, without mixture, into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now, the pronouncement of this judgment is going to be short. It's going to be sharp. It's simple. It's plain. It's blunt. It's loud. And it ends up in hell, which is long. That's going to be verse 11 here. That was undiluted torment. This is undying torment. There's no hope in verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. To me, that's going to be the worst part of hell. There'll never be no end to it. No rest. No, you know all the rest of it. Fire, torture, pain, forever and ever, but then no rest. Never stops, like a Chinese torture. No rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth his mark, the mark of his name. Christ's going to do it personally. He's going to do it directly. He's going to be right there. There'll be no neutral position. Now, I hate to tell you this because I know you all are Bible believers, but there's some that say up there in verse 10 that fire and brimstone is a symbol. No, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. No matter, they shouldn't have never said that because the reality is always worse than the symbol. Right. If that is a symbol, reality is going to be worse.
Right.
And I'll go ahead and tell you this, in Sodom it was real.
Yeah.
It was real, wasn't no symbol. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah, I'm in a good crowd today. Thank y'all. Verse 12, we've got a happy contrast. Here's the patience of the saints. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Sounds like you all right there. Now, verse 13 is not a verse for America. Verse 13 is a verse when it's better to die than to live. See, us Americans, we'd rather live because we got it made. We're right in the middle of prosperity right now. Verse 13, though, it's going to be in a time when it's better to die than to live. Verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit. It's the Spirit that says that. That they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. We're never saved by works, but rewarded by works. And these, their works follow them, but that's true for everybody. Your works is going to follow you and mine's going to follow me. That's true for everybody. That's not an exception right there. But they're rewarded and their troubles are over. They are home at last. In verse 14, starting here the rest of the chapter is the first getting ready to announce Armageddon. Verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat, like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now the sower in Matthew 13 is now the reaper.
Yeah.
It's time. It's time. That was his first advent back when he was a sower. That was the advent of poverty. Now it's power. Now he's coming in power now. His office as king is always connected with his return. But back then, in that first advent, he was prophet and he was priest.
Yeah.
But he's getting ready to come back as the king. That was all in the past, those others. Matthew 8:20 says, "The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Well, he does now.
Right.
And he's going to lay it wherever he wants to.
Right.
He'll stay where he wants to. And also at this time, Satan's tares are no longer hard to detect. They're black weeds. And these tares are not just weeds. They're poisonous. They're sons of the evil one. You got the sickle 12 times in the Bible, 7 times in this chapter. You got sharp 7 times in Revelation, 4 times in this chapter. Now let's look at 15. We'll try not to put you to sleep here, but if you bear with me, 15 through 19, we're talking about this same period. 15, "And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, 'Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe.' And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, and he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, 'Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe.' And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God." Notice that's not the wrath of the beast. That's not the wrath of the devil. That's the wrath of God.
Yeah.
God's mad. He's fed up with it. Let's look at something here in Luke 8:11. We've been talking about the sower. And you got the parable of the sower. The gist of it in Luke 8:11. In Luke 8:11, it says, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God." That's in the parable of the sower. Look in Mark 4, you see the same thing. Mark 4:14. The sower soweth the word. Then you got the same thing in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. Verse 3, "And the sower went out to sow," and it's down through here, and then starting in verse 18 is the interpretation of it. Let's look at that, a glance at it. It says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." And in 19 he's sowing the word, but there's some that did not understand. We're still talking about my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Some didn't understand. In verse 20, "There's he that heareth the word." It's the sower sowing the word. Verse 21, "Because of the word." And 22, "He that heareth the word." Verse 23, "He that received the seed into good ground, and he that heareth the word and understandeth it." This is the parable of the sower, and it's the word. It's the word he's sowing. But please look in 24, he says another parable. Now, it divides here. This is not the parable of the sower. This is the parable of the tares. It's different. Let's look at it. I want to look at the interpretation first. It starts in 36. We're coming back to 24. Verse 36, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came to him, saying, 'Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field.' And he answered and said to them, 'He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children.'"
Yeah.
Now, in this parable, the parable of the tares, we'll read it here in a minute. It's not the seed. The seed's not the word. It's children. Matter of fact, the field's the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the children of the wicked one.
Yeah.
I just want you to notice that we're not talking about the Bible now. Let's go back to 24 and read it. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that sowed good seed in the field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way, and when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. And verse 30, just like we read in Revelation 14, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. We're going to the barn. That's where we're going. Now let's read the interpretation, the whole interpretation. Verse 35, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth. 36. And Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came unto him and said, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Now here's the interpretation of what we just read. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. By the way, the Son of Man is the only one that can sow children.
That's good.
We sow seed. We sow the word, and that's our job. And I got to remember not to harvest. I don't need to be cutting any heads off.
Amen.
I need to be sowing the word. The Lord's going to take care of that a little bit later. The Son of Man sows children. Verse 38, the fields, the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy has sown. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be, like it was in chapter 14. So shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the barn, in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now 14. Revelation 14, verse 20. It's the darkest day in human history. Verse 20. The most horrible hour. It's hell's holiday. Revelation 14:20. And the wine press was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the wine press, even under the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. It's 185 miles long and 1 mile wide. Hebrews 2:3. It's a wonder they came through the great tribulation and they're still singing, God really is great and God really is good. And we got to guard that we'll do the same thing. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? The trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored is what it is. Now chapter 15. Back in heaven still, or back in heaven again, the sights and sounds in the temple. And God's in no hurry.
Right.
He's calm and deliberate, just like the surgeon doing whatever's necessary. Verse 1. And I saw another sign. The first sign was in chapter 12. It was a wonder. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Here, that's the same thing as a sign. And I saw another sign, chapter 15 again, in heaven. Great and marvelous. Seven angels having seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. By the way, next week we might look at that number seven. If you like number six, number seven might be pretty good.
Yeah.
God's been long-suffering, slow to anger, but here it is. It's the wrath of God, not the wrath of Satan, not the wrath of the beast, but God. Verse 2, And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over the mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. It's remarkable that these came through the tribulation are not bitter. Not bitter. Pray that we don't fall into that trap. I had the wrong verse a while ago. We don't want to lose the joy of our salvation. Let's look at it in Hebrews 12. It really wasn't the wrong verse, but I jumped the gun there. Hebrews 12:15 on not losing your joy. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We don't want to fall into that. We need to stay on the wheel.
Yeah.
And water the clay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's what we need to do.
Yeah, that's good.
Verse 3, the singers can get ready if they want to. Yeah. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb. That's what we'll be talking about the rest of the day. Saying, great, and He really is great, and He really is marvelous, are Thy works. Lord God Almighty, just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of saints. Let's look at that song of the Lamb in Revelation chapter 5, just a minute here, starting in verse 8. I know Thy works. That's 3. Revelation 5, 8. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory and blessing.
Sacred Lamb, You knew my name. You knew my heart, and You knew my frame. You knew what I could never know. You went where I could never go. You called your own. By His stripes, we are healed, and by His blood.
forever been atoned the Son had compassion. He said, Father, I'll be your lamb. So once again, blood was shed as the soldier nailed his head. It's been 3 days since heaven watch their prince of glory die. His followers are in mourning, for in the tomb their Savior lies. But at the grave, something is happening, and death screams, I've lost my hope. Angels rise in anticipation, for the Lamb is coming home, and there He comes, and He's got the blood. And the Father says, well done, my son. This is the last blood I'll ever need.
Amen. Amen.